This is Jane Hill. I'm interviewing Dick and Darlene Wiegand today on August 24th.
Hi, I'm Darlene. I'll tell you a little bit about when I was growing up. I was born in Iowa City, Iowa, and lived there until I was 8, and then we moved to Michigan. I lived in Monroe until I was in 8th grade, and then Dearborn, Michigan. Dick and I met in high school in Dearborn. We were not high school sweethearts, but we did know each other since high school.
Move back just a little bit.
Okay. We were married after our junior year in college. Dick had a year and a half, and I had a year. And we lived in Detroit for a while, and then Birmingham, Michigan, had our first two children there, and then moved to Pittsburgh and had our second two children. Moved to Rochester, New York, and then to Cleveland, and we've been here since 1977. I've always liked to spend most of my time outdoors, but didn't hike at all until we took a hike in the Smoky Mountains, where we climbed to a place called LeConte that I think some other people have been to. And I think it was only 8 miles, and it was the easiest way to get up, and I think it took us most of the day to do it. But we really got interested in hiking after that. And we used to go to, after that we started going on all-day hikes out at Holden. They'd have one each season. And I always ended up walking with Edith Consett, who at that time was president of the Buckeye Trail Association. So we joined that, and then we did the whole Buckeye Trail, excuse me, and through that we met some people from the hiking club who were hiking the Buckeye Trail with that, and then we joined the hiking club later.
I'm Dick Wiegand. I was born in Detroit at Henry Ford Hospital and moved to Dearborn in 1941, where my folks were building a new house. And of course, Dearborn was a Ford enclave, largely. I went to Henry Ford Grade School, which is now on the property right next to the World Headquarters in Dearborn. The elementary school had a swimming pool in 1941 when I started, which was very unusual. And swimming was a required subject, no bathing suits, and you had to learn to swim the width, or else you got paddled. The last one or two people got paddled, not hard, you know, but just a little incentive. But then I went to the public schools until I think it was the eighth grade. No, the fifth or sixth grade, I went to Edison, to the Greenfield Village. There was a school at the Greenfield Village, paid for by Ford, and a high school called Edison Institute. My brother graduated from high school there. This was a private school, very nice, and no tuition. Ford paid everything. And my dad worked for the Federal Reserve Bank in Detroit and had nothing to do with Ford Motor Company. But my mother was an avid reader, and she found out that they were accepting non-Ford employees' kids at this school. So we both went there. And then they closed the high school. And so I went back to the public schools, where I ended up meeting Darlene at Fordson High School in Dearborn on Ford Road, incidentally. But when I was at the Greenfield Village School in the sixth grade, they had a custom that the sixth graders went to the Fairlane Mansion and met with the Fords. Mr. Ford, Henry Ford, was dead at that time, but Mrs. Ford was still living. So the sixth graders went for an evening of hot chocolate and cookies and a tour of the Fairlane estate. And I always remember they had a swimming pool and two bowling alleys in the basement. Really something for a sixth grade kid, you know. Anyway, then I went back to public schools, and I played football and basketball in high school, and I tried to get in the Air Force Academy upon graduation from high school, and passed all the tests, the officers' candidate school written tests, and they washed me out because I had hay fever when I was younger. And my mother went ballistic. She wrote a letter to the Secretary of the Air Force. She was quite a person, and never finished high school, but didn't matter. And she got an answer back from the Surgeon General of the Air Force, pretty good. And they said, I couldn't be a pilot because I used to have hay fever. She really thought that was ridiculous. One of the young men who went through the testing with me was a big black kid from Hamtramck, Michigan, and he ended up going to the Air Force Academy, even though he told me during the tests that sometimes when he would open a test booklet, he couldn't answer a single question. But they still accepted him because they needed a tackle on the football team their first year. And I went to Colorado College because the Air Force Academy coach referred me to there, and I got a scholarship offer from Colorado College and the University of Wyoming. And I picked Colorado College because the Wyoming brochure had a picture of a horse tied up to a hitching post. And I thought, boy, that's really cow country or something. I'm not going there. So I went to Colorado College. Well, I had a date with Boris Karloff's daughter, Sarah, who had her horse at Colorado College when I was a freshman and used to ride around the campus at Colorado Springs. And I came back to the dorm, and they said, "How did you enjoy your date with Boris Karloff's daughter?" Funny. Yeah. Anyway, then we, as Darlene said, I got a job with a group called Factory Mutual, which was a group of fire insurance companies that once totaled 32 different companies. They had to do that in order to get capacity. But then it merged back down to one by the time I retired. But I worked for them, and so I was a fire inspector for this company. And I went in many of the auto plants, Ford, Chrysler, General Motors, American Motors, Hudson, Henry J., all of them. And the most amazing thing about that was the first factory I went to was the Dodge Main Assembly Plant in Hamtramck, Michigan, which is a city, within Detroit. But still separate, but it's completely enclosed in Detroit. And it was a reinforced concrete building, five or six stories, but low ceilings. So the chassis, the car, chassis, wheels, engine would come rolling down the line on the first floor, and the body with all the trim and stuff, windows, doors, whatever, would come on the second floor over a hole in the floor, and they had what they call the body drop.
Oh my
and
gosh.
They actually dropped the body of the car onto the chassis and then bolted it together. And that was quite exciting. And we got to the end and we watched them finish one of the cars, and the hood wouldn't close. So the workman stuck a broom handle in the hood and slammed it, but he knew how to do it because when he took the broom out, it fit perfectly. It's called high-tech auto assembly. Then we moved to, I moved to Pittsburgh from Detroit. I got a job in sales for the, with the same company, the same group. And we were there for, 3 years. And then we went to Rochester, New York for 7 years. And then we came here. And as Darlene said, we used to do all-day nature hikes at Holden with Edith Consett. And she got us into the Buckeye Trail. So we started the Buckeye Trail hike. They started in April. We started in November of 89. And then we went and made up the part we missed later. And then partway around, we joined the hiking club so that we would get credit for the miles. And we only missed, it was 1,200 miles then, now it's 1,400. Oh. They added another loop. But the Buckeye Trail, we ended up with 600 or 700 accredited miles in the hiking club out of the 1,200 we had hiked, because we weren't members when we hiked the beginning. But then we, of course, were in the hiking club, and we were active in both groups. And the best thing about the hiking club is the excursions. We have, if you look over on the shelf there, you'll see 8 or 10 big notebooks with different trips.
Wow.
Yeah. We've been on at least 20 trips with the hiking club. And everyone had some aspect that was better than the last. And people would say, well, what was the best trip you were on? It's an impossible question. They're all marvelous. They were inexpensive. They were a lot of fun. We went to Slovenia, Croatia, Spain, France, Italy, England, Scotland, Wales, Scotland, England, you know, over and over, and Glacier, and Cape Cod recently, and it's, you know, that's really a good aspect of the club, and we're lucky to have been able to do it. And my doctor says that because of the hiking, Darlene and I both are probably 10 years older than we would have been without it. The hiking has really been very healthful.
So you became a member in 1989?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Or 90, maybe.
1990, okay.
Yeah.
How about camp and social events?
We go to a lot of those, although the camp is quite a drive from our house. I don't know, Dick, can you think of any particular social? Love the steak roast, and we're so thankful that Sharon was willing to do it for so long, and we
and her husband
would always write her a thank you note afterwards, because it was just so much work, especially this year with 130 people. So we really appreciated that. Can you think of any other events I could let him tell you that he was the head of the committee that did the new kitchen. And that happened because one time we were at a meeting at camp, and it was so hot and so horrible in the kitchen. Dick said they really needed to do something about the kitchen. And I think it was, he can correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was Alice Cruz that said, okay, you're chairman of the committee to do it then. So he had a committee of people, and they, I'll let him tell you what they did.
Well, we remodeled the kitchen.
Well, put in a new window and bought new appliances, and really the people really planned how things. Sandy Paluga and I don't remember all the other people, but there was a committee of people, and the women I think went out and got the bought appliances and planned how things would work really well, the people who had always done a lot of work in the kitchen, so.
Well, you had stopped. One of the other great things about the hiking club is the people. We've met some marvelous people that we have become, you know, our lifelong friends. And I can remember being with Bob Ziegler in Portugal. He was Sandy's boyfriend.
Judy Gom.
Oh, Judy, I'm sorry, Judy Gom's boyfriend. Okay. And he was walking down the street going by Ponce de Leon's estate in Portugal and had his shirt off and was getting a suntan while enjoying the hike in Portugal. And I was having a medical problem and I had to get my blood checked. So it was a 50-euro cab ride to the British Hospital in Lisbon from where we were hiking that was converted to $80 US at the time each way. And the cab driver was the bartender at the hotel. He did this on the side. So on the way back, after I got my $1.58 blood test, he literally drove us in the high country. We went by Ponce de Leon's estate in the taxi, and other famous Portugal people, you know, famous politicians and kings and queens and all that kind of stuff. But the excursions were great, and the friends we made were great. And I forgot to mention about the kitchen. Bill Miller was on the committee. Louise Melnick and I'll think of the other woman's name who was on the committee. And wasn't all roses and flowers, but we did get it done.
Was Sandy Paliga on the committee?
Sandy Paliga was on the committee. Okay. And
the other one was Louise's friend. I can't remember her name, though.
Okay. It'll come to us. Yeah.
I should talk about Louise.
Did you want to mention Ed Horvath's name?
Oh, yeah. Another member of the kitchen committee was Ed Horvath.
And one of everyone's favorite people, I think, was Louise McDonough, which I'm sure a lot of people have talked about. But we got to know her so well because she did the Buckeye Trail with us. And when you spend 8 hours a day for 2 or 3 days on the weekend, once a month, hiking, you really get to know them really well. And
Hill.
She was so, Thelma Hill hiked with us, and Don Hoffman, but the other people I don't think were in the hiking club. But Louise, I think at that time, knew everybody in the hiking club. The hiking club was much smaller. And she would immediately, if she went on a hike, she went on every hike almost. The only other thing she did basically was she cleaned the church one day, and I think she had tickets to a play, but hiking was really pretty much her life. And if there was anyone on a hike she didn't know, she would immediately go up and talk to them and walk with them and get to know them. So she really did know, I think she knew everybody. And she didn't have to really remember names because she called everybody sweetie. And she was a very slim woman, and she could eat prodigious amounts of food. We went to a restaurant one time when we were hiking on the Buckeye Trail, and it was a buffet, and the owner came up and not entirely jokingly asked us not to bring her back there anymore again because she ate so much. I think she said she used to take, was it 3 sandwiches to work when she worked? And but I guess she walked it all off or had good metabolism or something. But I think she was...
She worked for a tool and die company in Cleveland, and she would go out and make sure the orders were being properly, you know, assembled. Another person that was in the hiking club at the time was Harold Poole, who was interesting because he was doing the Appalachian Trail by himself in a van. And he would sometimes sleep in the van. People would help him shuttle to the either the end or the beginning of hikes. But he did... I think he finished the AT all by himself, which is amazing. We had a young man, his nickname was Clam, and he was a medical technician in Akron, and he did the AT when he was 21 or 22 as a through hiker, and he was very strong, and he did the Buckeye Trail with us and did the whole thing. There were only six of us that finished it, in that time frame. Louise, McDonough, who had started leading, went to Nepal.
Edith Consett.
I'm sorry, Edith Consett, who had started that loop, joined the Peace Corps and went to Nepal in halfway around, somewhere just north of Cincinnati. She went to Nepal for 20 months. And Darlene and I became the leaders because nobody else would do it. And the most difficult thing about it was figuring out where you're going to leave your cars 3 months ahead so you could get the Buckeye Trail newsletter to publish it. Very difficult. And one day we were hiking and we had left, three or four cars exactly where the farmer had told us to put them, not blocking his access to the backfields and the rest of it.
But he had told us before, 3 months before.
Yeah, where he had told us it was okay to park. And when we got almost to the end, I was not in front. And they said, quick, get up to the front. The farmer called the police because these people, he thought they were druggies or something, had parked on his property. And when I walked up to the front, he recognized me. And went in and called off the police and apologized, but he had forgotten that he had agreed to do that. But it was very hard scheduling, and I was lucky. I had a administrative assistant, you know, secretary type person who was extremely efficient, and she would type up all the Buckeye Trail stuff off hours and print them out so we could have maps and, it was really, really a lot of work, and she helped.
A couple other Buckeye Trail stories. One was about the dog that we rescued.
Okay.
Louise, there was a dog that kept following us, and we didn't really like dogs to follow us because they would follow us for so long that we worried about them finding their way home. So this one dog kept following us, and we took little pebbles and we'd throw it at it and we'd yell at it and try to get it to go home, but it wouldn't go home. And finally we harassed it enough so it left. And then maybe an hour later or so, we were walking along and this dog jumped out of the woods with this big smile on his face. He hadn't gone away at all. He was just following us. And so near the end of the hike, the dog got so tired. We would hike 15, 16, 17 miles, and by the end of it, the dog was so tired. And Louise felt so sorry for the dog, so she was kind of pulling it along. We got into some place where there was traffic. She got it across the street, and somehow got separated, and we lost Louise and the dog. So when we got back to camp, or the motel, we went out looking for Louise, and we found her, but not the dog. So we went to, she said she left it under a big bush because it was so tired it couldn't walk anymore, but it wasn't there. So eventually, I think it was the next day, we were going to come home, and Dick and I went to find the town only had, it was Peebles, Ohio, the town only had, I think, one policeman, and he was out patrolling, but we found him, and we asked him about the dog. And he said, oh, you mean that dog that was harassing the Dairy Queen? Well, this dog couldn't harass anybody. It was such a sweet dog. But anyway, he said, the dog's in jail. So we drove to the jail, and I went in, and the dog was in a cell, and I sprung the dog. We put the dog in the car. The dog had ticks all over it. We drove back. It was a Sunday night, raining. We had like 4 or 5 hours to drive home. We went back to the area where we found the dog, and nobody was home. We finally found somebody home. And the woman at first thought it was her dog, but it turned out not to be. But she said she would keep it and put an ad in the paper. So
her dog had been killed
by coyotes, she thought.
Wild dogs.
Uh-huh. So, anyway.
And one day on the Buckeye Trail, happened to be Palm Sunday, and we were sitting by a creek bed having lunch, and this guy comes out with a small car and a big trailer filled with topsoil that he had dug out of the riverbed, taking it up to his house, which was adjacent. And he stopped next to us and started swearing. And Louise McDonough stood on the bridge.
Tell him what he would say, get.
Yeah, he said, I told you to get, God damn it, get. When I say get, I mean get. He reached, and he was swearing, and Louise stood on the bridge and said, you can't take the Lord's name in vain, particularly not on Palm Sunday. The guy reached in the back of his car. It's kind of a coupe. He had a pistol in a holster, and he pulled it out, and Louise kept yelling at him, and I decided that I was going to get shot in the back, but I wasn't going to stay, so I left.
And I was already pretty far down the road.
And Clam, the young guy that was with us, went up to this man with the gun, and he said, if you pull that pistol out of the holster, you're going to be in the slammer tonight because I'm going to go get the sheriff. And he bluffed the guy. That's why I left. Well, doing the Buckeye Trail was a real challenge because unlike the hiking club that has publications every month, the Buckeye Trail, I think it was a quarterly newsletter, and in order to plan 3 months ahead, plus a month for the printer, you had to plan the hike 4 months ahead. So we had to have meeting places for usually 2 days. We hiked 1 weekend a month, rain or shine, always the same month. And once in a while, we did 3-day weekends when we were farthest away from home, which was really tricky because of the shuttling. And we'd have to try to figure out where are we likely to be 3 months from now or 4 months from now, and then find a place to leave half the cars at each end of the hike each day. And that was a lot of work, and we used to go and scout these places out on Sunday afternoon after we finished 2 days of hiking, the prior month, while we were close to where we were going. And sometimes we just said we were going to meet near some intersection of two roads and said we will advise later exactly where the site is, which helped. But, you know, it was hard to tell. Some days we would do 12 miles and it felt like 30. And other days we would do 18 and it felt like 12. So it depended on the terrain and the, you know, the difficulty of the trail and the elevation changes. And of course, people say, how much farther is it to the end? You say, oh, well, it's just over the next hill. No reflection on the interviewer, Ms. Hill.
I have another Hill story. Thelma Hill was one of the people that we hiked the Buckeye Trail with, and she had to make, Dick and I had to make up the days from April to November because we started late. And every once in a while, someone else would hike it with us because they would have missed a particular hike, and so they'd go with us. And so Thelma missed this one particular hike, and it was over near Findlay State Park. And we parked the car on a back road by Findlay State Park, completely off the road. We hiked for 14 miles and got our car at the end of the hike, went back to get Thelma her car, and the car was not there. So a woman, there were really no houses. We could see one house in the distance and a farm, and we got in touch with those people, and they were very chagrined. They said, oh, we called the sheriff and your car was towed, because in almost the same spot the winter before, there had been a car park there, and they didn't do anything about it. They said they thought they should just mind their own business, and it turned out that there were some people in the car who were dead. So this time, as soon as they saw, and the sheriff was very mad at them because they hadn't called him. They had seen this car parked and didn't do anything about it. So as soon as they saw Thelma's car there, they immediately called the sheriff. And it was towed in, and they didn't do any damage to the car, but they had taken it all apart looking for drugs and checked to see who it belonged to. And I think we paid a pretty big fine, but she got her car back in good shape.
Wow. When we were doing the Buckeye Trail, when we would get home on Sunday evening, Walter Leonards would call. He was keeping track of mileage for the hiking club, and he wanted to know how many miles we'd done on the weekend, whether it was two or three days, or either way. And I always thought it was because he was interested in our Buckeye Trail loop escapades. It turned out he was competing with Louise for total mileage for the month, and that's the only reason he wanted to know how many miles did Louise get this time.
He
knew how much he had to hike in order to stay ahead of her. Yeah, okay. The excursions, so many of them were really, really great. And even the most recent one we went on was Cape Cod, was marvelous. And every trip had some aspect that was out of, you know, out of the way. This last trip we had free clams and free shucked oysters at the end of a day's walk on Cape Cod, because the leader's sister had neighbors who were in the business. One guy went out and dug clams in the morning, and the other guy went and got oysters, or I guess he maybe had an oyster farm and was growing them. We went by an oyster farm on the shore walking, and they actually move the oysters in rows by size, and they've got them all laid out, and there's nets and it's really quite an operation, and it's all fresh water. The tide cleans it twice a day. So even though they're farm raised, they're like wild, and they're excellent. It was really, really quite an experience. And the T-shirt I'm wearing was from the Highland Lighthouse, which was originally called Cape Cod Lighthouse, and it was dedicated by President George Washington. It was the first lighthouse on Cape Cod, and now there are how many?
Oh, my goodness.
I turn around, and there's 30 on the back of the shirt. But anyway, it's that kind of thing that if you stay home, you miss out on. And we went up in the Cape Cod Lighthouse, which is now the Highland Lighthouse. And it, you know, just think, George Washington dedicated it, and here it is. It's like the eclipse. It's one of those things that's marvelous.
Well, I'm trying to think about when particular times.
We were just talking among ourselves and saying when the things that when we get together with people that we've done some of these long hikes, especially with the times we really remember are times when things go wrong, when you get lost or when you're terrified when something happens or there's some other mishap. And I think that really kind of bonds people together when they've been through an experience together. Yes, I wanted to mention Ruth and Leo when we talk about the hike leaders. You remember they've done so much for the club, I think, especially the Explore Ohio hikes were wonderful, and all the organizing they did was great, and leading the Bird Away hikes that Leo does that we've enjoyed so much.